94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Juan Castillo. And this morning I have with me a young man who's been in our community for a very long time. I've been trying to get him up here for a while now, and he's finally here. Gary Gates is in the house. He's president of the New Hallville Corporation. President of the New Hallville Neighborhood Corporation. And, you know, we're going to be talking about the corporation and New Hallville and his life. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm hanging,
good to be
brother.
Here. Good
hanging.
To be. I'm glad I made it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you grew up in New Hallville.
Yeah, I did. I grew up in New Hallville 42 years.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Good neighborhood. Came through the 80s, but a good neighborhood.
Yeah, the 80s were tough.
Yeah, they were.
The 80s were tough. You know, but New Hallville is on the way back, man.
Yeah, man. I think we played a major part in that, too, man. It's on its way back.
Yeah, no questions. Tell me about growing up, man, in New Hallville back in the day.
Well, again, I came through the 80s. Of course, anybody who knows that knows it was a crucial time. Our community wasn't the best financially situated. So, you know, the kids seeing certain things weren't as positive as always could be. But, again, it was a hard task coming through it, but I made it. And I'm a business owner now. You know, I came a long way from, you know, just Jackie Robinson and having it hard to now being a prominent business owner in the same community in which I grew up in. So I'm definitely a image for young men that, you know, want to get out and do something different with themselves in their own community. It's a good thing. It's coming from a hard place into a good place is good.
And tell them about your business, man.
Oh, well, yeah, here's a plug. 783 Dixwell Avenue, New Haven, Connecticut, 06511. It's called Who's Next Barbershop. It's a very fine, classy place. You'll love it.
That's great. That's great. So tell me about your family, man. Tell me about, you know, I mean, I know you, you know, we're going to talk about your kids, but what about your family growing up?
Well, my family growing up was a tight-knit family. The Gates family was a tight-knit. I will say they did a good job with raising us and understanding family values. I really appreciate my people for that because I was able to pass that on when it became my time or my turn to be a parent and have a family.
Right, right. Now, you went to Eli Whitney.
Yeah, I did. I went to Eli Whitney, man. A lot of... it's funny. Growing up, it was either Cross or Hill House.
So, right.
You know, me going to Eli Whitney, it was kind of funny to my peers, me going there. But I always tell my mom, I think that was one of the best decisions she made in my life. Because during that time, New Haven was going through a... You couldn't get it done in either one of the high schools kind of a thing. So to put me in a vocational school was good because I got a better experience. I learned to meet different people from different cultures other than what I was going through.
Right. And I mean, and it gave you an opportunity to really begin to think on an entrepreneurial level.
Yes, it did. It's actually a trade school. So
right.
What you do is you pick up a trade and hopefully you could take it out into the world later on.
And have your own business.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
So,
that's,
you know,
great.
That's why I always tell my mom that the best thing she did, even though I fought her tooth and nail, you know, coming from New Hallville, we want to go to Hill House. You know, it's just
right.
a thing to do.
Right.
That was the best thing she did for me.
Right. Now, you played basketball there.
Yeah, I actually played for Eli Whitney. Played a few years. I was a good basketball player, point guard. A little offhand as far as like listening to the system, but I wanted to be the Allen Iverson at the time. But it was a good thing. I
That's great. That's great. Juan Castillo, I'm speaking with Gary Gates. He's the president of the New Hallville Neighborhood Corporation. And we're talking about his life and growing up in New Hallville and now being a business owner. You know, who's got next, right?
Who's next?
Who's next? Who's next? Okay.
Yeah, who's next?
Well, I thought it was who's got next to play on basketball.
You know, well, I get that. That was nice. I like that.
That's all good. That's
yes,
all good.
Yes.
So you graduate from Eli Whitney. What happens?
After I graduate from Eli Whitney, as a normal teenager, you're kind of in a funk in which direction to go. And truth be told, I learned how to sew for 4 years. My trade was fashion. And like most college kids and most kids, you probably don't do what you go to school for. So in turn, I end up using one of my other talents to actually put myself into business right out of high school. I was having a kid at the time, my oldest son, Gary Anderson. And I felt like I had to be a better father than which I grew up in. Again, just harping on my past years and as a young man, we didn't grow up with two parents in the communities in our neighborhood. It was a little difficult.
Right.
So what I seen was something that I didn't want to be. I wanted to be a parent. I wanted to be in a household. I wanted to do the things that I didn't see in my household. I wanted to be that in my household. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take one of the talents that I was good at as a kid, which was cutting hair. I put myself through school, Josie's. Everybody know Josie's.
Big ups to Josie, yeah, man, and Julio, man. Yeah,
those
yeah.
are my guys. They she grabbed me. She understood I was I had a business mind. I had an entrepreneurial spirit. And truth be told, I wanted to be just like her because she was everything that I embodied as a business owner at that portion of my life. So I kind of took hold of her real well. Let's just say I went to school for 2 years part time. I was working in a barbershop at that time. And then within a few years, I had my license, and by the year 2000, I opened my own business.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
The first time that you cut hair, talk about that. You remember that?
I was 9 years old.
You were nine.
I was okay. 9 years old.
Okay.
Let's just start.
So who was the victim?
One of my cousins. His name is Edwin Gates. He was like, believe me, he didn't know the difference at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm an artist. I like to draw. So
yeah.
What I did was transfer drawing on a paper to drawing on somebody's head. So it makes the job kind of easier as an artist when you look at it in an artist standpoint. I didn't know that at the time, but that's what I was doing. So as I got older, I learned to transfer that artistry into haircutting, and now it makes my job that much easier today. So
talking about you know, cutting hair and you know, and the art of barbering, tell me about how important the relationship is between you and your customers, and when somebody comes in and says, hey, Gary, take care of me.
It's fortunate that I'm able to own a barbershop in a community like mine, because we need a place where we can sit down, have general conversation as people, where your titles are off the table. You're
yes.
not a lawyer, not a doctor, you're not working at Yale. You're just, you know, you're here in a place where everybody communicate on the same lines. And I think it's needed in communities because it gives the people a sense of we're the same. We're, you're not over me. We're equal. And me being from the outside looking at as the owner, sometimes I got to sit back like Donahue and manipulate the situation. But it's a fun atmosphere. I think barbershops are great for communities. Again, they give people a place to have a social, without internet environment, you know what I mean? It's a social touch one-on-one.
FaceTime.
Kind of FaceTime. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
FaceTime one-on-one.
Right.
There's good communication because things you might not know, you can pick up in places like a barbershop. You
right,
know?
Right.
Where I can go to pay my taxes at, or who has the hottest cheeseburgers in town. You know, it's always a place of information, and it's a good thing for the community.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, historically, barbershops in our community have been those places, right?
Yes.
And in fact, you know, many a movement has started in the barbershops.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the conversation.
Oh yeah, and this
you
is
know?
It, the harper on what you're saying. New Orleans Neighborhood Corporation jumped right from that, from a conversation in a barbershop to how Dave Durham. I don't know if you guys know him, but it was a very special guy in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually thinking about naming a park after him this
nice.
Summer. We're trying to get a few things situated. We can get to that. But just harping on those things, those kind of conversations sparked as a young man in me as an entrepreneur. And I think that I wanted to see people in our community have a great time in the summer times. So just talking with people in general in the barbershop, we came up with an idea one day, started out with a $2 fryer, and next thing you know, we're the biggest thing going down 17 years later. So
that's fantastic.
It starts from a conversation, it's a couple ideas, you put it together, and you can come out with something beautiful.
And I'll tell you something else that's also very important in our community is that, you know, rites of passage, you know, we got those from Africa,
yes,
you know,
yes,
and from our heritage, right?
Indeed.
And a rite of passage is for an uncle, a brother, a father, a mother,
yes,
to bring their young man into the barbershop for his first haircut to begin the relationship.
Yes. And what I say to all the fathers, make sure you bring them, you know, that's
oh,
the
absolutely.
Rite of passage.
Exactly.
Today, you know, I'm going to give you something that I
say. I mean, I just threw the females out because, you know, sometimes they got to.
Right. But don't get me wrong. I truly understand that.
Yes.
Again, I grew up in a single parent home. I
yes.
understand where your mom have to do majority of the work and the father's not around. But I also understand that that's an integral part in a man's life where he needs to bring his son to the barbershop. It's just a feeling that you can't get outside of walking your little cousin down the street. When you bring in your child, your son to the barbershop in a male atmosphere, it just gives him a sense of, okay, I'm a bunch around of guys that's like me. And it's kind of his building his train of thought to be a better person and be a real man in society.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because, you know, growing up, I'm from Panama.
Okay.
So, you know, my father was always working, you know, so my grandfather was the first one that took me to, and, you know, and that was a rite of passage that I'll never forget, you know, and he used to also drive a bus, so I used to ride around on the bus with him, you know, on his route, right?
Yeah, so he was getting good experience.
Exactly, man, you know, and so you don't have, I mean, so it could be the uncles, grandfathers, that's whoever,
right.
man.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, and just having a relationship, man, that's
and
really
that's
what it's all about.
That's what it is. It's about the relationship, because the things that you can get out of that young man later on in life plays a part in that particular moment, that day in that barbershop.
Right.
He's trusting in you. You brought him, he got a great haircut from the barber that he was dealing with. He had great conversation. And then when he has a problem on later in the life, he's able to trust you because he's realizing that, you know, you're the guy that understands what he's talking about.
Absolutely. So now let's talk about, you know, your growth, right? You know, so you go over to Josie's, and big up to Julio and Josie.
Yes,
over
thank
there.
You once again.
And then so now you go out on your own, right? Tell me about the progression of how that one jumped off leading up to you becoming your own boss and owning your own business.
This was a hard path. I seen the picture. I had a vision of the picture, but actually going through it was something different. I had to have been about 18, 19 years old. I worked in a barbershop illegally first, if you want to say. Eventually, I had to get the experiences to add to my talent. So I end up going to school. I forced myself to go to school.
Now, you mentioned illegally. So barbers today in New Haven, they need a license?
No, not in shops. That's not what I mean. But
okay, what do you mean?
Working out of my house.
Oh, okay, that's what you're saying. Okay, all right, okay. All right,
house,
right. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
You know, things that just trying to keep a couple dollars so I can stay out of the streets.
Absolutely.
In New Haven. So I started working off my back porch and front porch, wherever I can, you know, get this dollar at, I started to do. But eventually, I knew I needed to own my own business, or I wanted to go into business. So I ended up going to school for Josie's for 2 years. Again, got my barber's license. And by the year 2000, that was a five-year stretch, by the way, for people who are asking. That wasn't no sweet run.
Right.
That was from 95 to the year 2000. It took me that time to get myself situated. And during that time, I was having a kid once again. So the push for me to get my license on top of being a parent at that time, and I'm a young male, it's kind of dragging. You don't really think you're going to be successful at that time. But before I knew it, time passed.
Right.
The year 2000 was here. And by that time, I was thinking outside of the box now. Now, my entrepreneur spirit kicked in. Then I looked for a space, found me a spot, opened up a barbershop. And I haven't looked back since. It's just been a great ride. I love it.
Time takes care of everything.
It takes care of everything. And if you're willing to go
patient.
Through it, you
got
to be patient. Because for what I've realized and what I understand with people sometimes is we want everything right away. We have this thing as humans we want to be rewarded immediately for crossing the street right. Sometimes you got to tie your shoe a million times in order for you to get it.
Right.
And now you can do it with your eyes closed.
Exactly.
So that makes the best example.
So let's talk about, while you're going through this process, you're having kids now. Philosophically, how do you raise your kids?
One thing in mind, we want to be great citizens by the time we reach our ultimate goal, which is to be an adult in life. That's kind of how I run my household. Whatever your talent is, whoever you are as a person, I'm going to mold it to be the best that it can be. Other than that, there is no underlining process other than that.
Right. Talk about your kids, man.
Oh, I have three kids. I have two older sons, and I have a daughter. My oldest one, Gary, great kid, works his behind off, and I just can't say nothing else about him. My middle child, he's actually graduating from UNH this year. He tried out for a regional combine in the NFL. He's a great kid. I mean, everybody knows him, a.k.a. Grandpa. He's just tremendous. I'm excited about where he's going. I think he stands a good chance of maybe making the NFL one day.
Went to UNH. He's getting ready to graduate from UNH.
Yeah, he's getting to graduate this year.
That's awesome, man.
So, you know, along with criminal justice, you know, he has a couple few paths that he can take to be, again, to be a successful citizen in the United States. I'm loving it.
And your daughter?
Yeah, she's great. She's on the path right now. You know, she grew up with two older brothers.
So she's 13.
Yeah, she's 13.
Great
she's
age.
A basketball player.
Oh, she plays basketball.
She's a basketball player as well. So
great.
My job doesn't stop. I love it. And for me, it's a good thing, God. You know, all I have to do again is just do what's easy to me. Be a parent.
Right. That's awesome. So now let's jump over to the New Hallville Neighborhood Corporation. Yeah. Let's talk about its history and the kinds of things you guys are doing now.
Well, we started as just being sponsored from the barbershop that I started in 2000. We started a few years there. It's a carry on for something that we always did in New Hallville. I don't want to seem like I'm doing something brand new here. Again, Dave Durham's and a few guys before him and other guys were responsible for keeping that park alive. I just felt like I was a kid from the community that finally got an opportunity to do something that I wanted to do. Being that these same people helped me start my barbershop as far as being my clientele, I wanted to return the favor. So I started the basketball tournament in 2000. Me and Terrence Thompson.
Lincoln Bassett.
At
Lincoln Bassett Park, yep.
We started with, like I said, a small grill. Not much of nothing. We walked around the community, asked people for a few dollars. We grinded up a couple of things, and we put something to it, and we made something out of it. It happened to become a nice thing the first few years, but then it took off. The whole community wanted to be a part of it. So I had to restructure my thought process and for the betterment of the people. So I started to search around town, look for all the best basketball players in town, put them on teams, mix the teams up so we can have a good visual basketball. It won't be just one team dominating each other. And then from that point on, I started to deal with the younger youth as well, the younger kids. From like 9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, I take all the kids in the community and we just have whatever fun we possibly can.
It's on Sundays.
It's on Sundays. We
right.
have it, whatever fun we could possibly have. And again, after the 1 o'clock time is over, I kind of start like a 7-game process. So we got, I want to say, 14 teams.
Nice.
Right. So it's a long, tedious process. But I think New Hallville Neighborhood Corporation, over this period of time, what we've done is to learn how to do small things very well.
Right.
Which means saying no to 1,000 other things.
Yes.
Which could hinder your program.
No question.
So what we do is we take every small step seriously, try to do it to its perfection. And again, this basketball tournament has become one of the biggest basketball tournaments in our city because we've been willing to do things at a slow pace, take our time to get it done and not being rushed. So I'm happy where we're at today. I think it's very successful. I want to thank all my board members, everybody that helps me out, Terrence Pitts, Terrence Thompson, Smokey, Keith, Lamont Young, Faith, John Deluz. I have so many outside of the community people, I can't say enough. They are the most help for me. Like, I can't believe that I get this much help from a place where people wouldn't think that you would. It's one of the hardest communities to grow up in, but fortunately, I'm one of the kids that grew up there, so they see that it can be done, and they help me out in the process.
And then you guys, on your championship weekend, then it becomes a whole thing because you got the fish fry going, you got Donald Mars with the gospel fest.
Okay, let me say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
For 6 weeks, what we do is we kind of give out free food to the community while we're running the tournament. And the tournament is free for the kids and the adults. It's
right.
No charge. We're just out there having a great time. Now, our last week is what we call our community day, which we have everyone in the community come out. Everyone brings out free food, and everyone gives it away. Nobody's charging anyone, anything of that nature. So it becomes a big community family festival. You know, you've been out there. Right?
I'm out there every year.
I'm glad you guys grace your presence, you know, out there, because we need more people in our city to become a part of what we're doing because it's getting bigger and bigger.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, where do you go from here, man? What else?
I just think we be consistent on and being tedious on our work, just being diligent to being good people in our community and keep doing what we're doing. I think we got a great thing going here. I combine that with me being an entrepreneur in the same community. I'm a visual for the young men that you can make a way out of no way. And I just keep going until my time is up.
That's great. So I got a couple of questions for you. What's your favorite? Who's your favorite NBA player?
I'm a Magic Johnson fan, and okay, after he left, I just stuck to the Lakers.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you in trouble right now?
Yeah. I'm way out somewhere else.
How about football?
I'm a Dallas Cowboy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm going to catch a lot of rap.
Yeah, yeah, this, yeah. Because, you know, I'm a New Yorker, man. So.
Yeah, I get it. I see you on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. I got, you know, I'm sporting the Giants right now, man. Y'all.
We'll see y'all this year.
So, listen, what's the best advice you ever got? And from who?
I have to give this one to my mother. I still use this to this day. Eat the fish and throw the bones away. That's the best advice I got in history. I mean, in life. It makes me humble. It gives me the ability to listen to people with understanding. And it gives me the ability to throw away the bones that I don't need.
No question. That's a good one. Never heard that one before. But that's hot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell us about, you know, when can folks start thinking about joining the tournament and volunteers and all that?
We'll be starting first week of July, that Sunday. That first week, that Sunday, we'll be starting that week. We'll carry it on for 6 weeks. Our last weekend will be the second week of August. And, again, all volunteers are welcome to come out and help. You could be a part of the program if you would like. Again, I deal with children, I deal with kids from 9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. Age ranges from about 10 to 14 years old, sometimes a little earlier. I mean, you know, a little early on the age, depending on how good they are with basketball. And the tournament actually takes off with the older guys from like 1 o'clock to like 7 o'clock is our last game being played.
So how can folks get in contact with you?
You could get in contact with me calling. You can come to the barbershop at 783 Dixwell Avenue, or you can call my phone number.
Okay.
At 203-747-4360.
That's great, man. Gary Gates, thank you, brother.
Thank you, Juan. I want to thank you for having me up here today. This was a great thing, man. You've always been a blessing to me.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother. Juan Castillo with you, this Electric Drum. I know you've been inspired. I know I have. We will see you next week right here on the Electric Drum.